today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, a California landmark makes a long overdue name change. A new high-speed COVID test gives travelers hope, while cruise lines are not quite ready to dip their ships back into the high water.
At 3:20 in our Smarter Traveler segment, we shame the Giants for a promotion gone wrong. And Mark has hotel, restaurant, and volcano review recommendations near Portland.
You didn't think I was going to get through that part about dipping their ships into the...
I know. You made me smile.
Yeah.
You did good.
There's a lot of things that could have come out of that, all of which would have been bad. Travel to Hawaii is still a non-starter. At 3:35, our guest is Will Lydgate, a Kauai chocolate farmer whose lifeblood is tourism. Will joins us to give us an update about the islands live from the islands.
With that, all that going on, there's nothing wrong with sharing a smile or two. And at 3:50, we bring you a COVID song, one of the best we've heard so far. It's done to Billy Joel's For the Longest Time.
Thank you for taking time out of your Sunday to be a part of our audience. We promise to make you smarter and more informed travelers. Our show is all about the journey. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Lord, I was born a man, man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
You bet. We are the travel and entertainment guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. Thank you for joining us here for the last show of August as we head towards September and next weekend being Labor Day already. You know, at the time we started doing our radio program, Mark, from home, basically, I didn't anticipate that we'd be doing the Labor Day show next week from here, but it looks like that's pretty much the case.
Yeah, for folks who don't know and who actually care, Tom sits in his home where he has a studio, and I sit at the Sports Leisure Vacations office where I have a little modified studio set up, and Luis Aquino is back over at the KFBK Studios over there across from Arden Fair making it all happen for us. So, the magic, the wizardry of technology. How's that?
There you go. There you go. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we're going to be covering dipping of ships, volcanoes.
The dipping of ships, yeah.
A life on the islands, that's going to be good. And folks, please stay with us for the new COVID song.
Yeah.
You're really going to enjoy this. By the way, again, if you go to travelguysradio.com, you'll find links to all the goodies there. As well as, you know, travel tips and fun information on our website. And so check it out, travelguysradio.com. So with that being said, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we get you into what is the travel news. With it, Mr. Mark Hoffman, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen.
And, of course, as we spare no expenses, Huey Lewis and the news stops by every Sunday just to do this little bit for us. Which is, you know, just never-ending budgets here at the Travel Guys. All right, so the big news in travel for the week is that Abbott Laboratories, which is a reputable, long-standing medical firm, has created a new rapid COVID-19 test. It is hypothetically, you can get results in 15 minutes. It's the size of a credit card, very easy to use because it doesn't take any other outside equipment. It's 97% to 98% accurate. It comes with a QSR code that you can enter onto your phone so that hypothetically you will be able to show people that, hey, yesterday I took this test and I came back negative. So it would be time stamped. And so for things like getting on a cruise ship, getting on an airplane, you might not want to do it for the bridge club every Tuesday, but it might not extend that far. But the other thing is at $5 a test, it's very affordable, and if it's going to have a 97-98% accuracy rate, why, then that would really be a game changer. I mean, think about a theater, for example. I mean, this is a little bit going to be a little bit of pain in the rear end, but it's going to be a pain no matter how you do it. But everybody could take a test. You could take this test before you got to the theater, and all you'd have to do is show your phone as you went in, just like you would normally show, you know, just like you'd give your ticket. So it might make the line go a little bit smaller, but right now the line isn't going anywhere at all. So that's anything would be an improvement for all types of spectator activities.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, this is kind of a crazy comparison, but you can't travel with a pet unless you have documentation that they've had their shots.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go. And so this is the kind of thing that we were hoping for to come along. It's not a vaccine, but it might be a way of identifying who had the virus and who did not before you got into a crowded situation. So anyway, it's worth watching. And like I said, because it's got Abbott's name on it, my guess is that we're going to see some other ones of these before too long. But the government has supposedly they can start making as many as 50 million tests a month starting in October. So it's probably going to take a lot more than that to restore some level of normalcy before we get a vaccine. But anyway, good news for those folks who might like to start making some travel plans is that it looks like you might be able to travel reasonably safely, at least in the vessel that you're using for travel. Cruise lines are already getting a little pessimistic on next year. They're starting to cancel sailings into 2021. Prince's announced that it's canceling some of its sailings. Carnival has already canceled some of theirs. Island Princess and Pacific Princess will not sail until at least April of 2021. So some of the canceled cruises include World Cruises and a Circle South America trip. One that lasted 111 days. So for right now, if you're thinking about a cruise or if you've already signed up for a cruise, make sure you keep an eye on things and be careful about making commitments on non-refundable things like airfares and stuff like that, lest you get into a situation that you can't get out of. Here's kind of an interesting thing. I'm sure most folks have heard about this by now. It came out Tuesday or Wednesday this week that Squaw Valley changed its name.
Yeah, yeah, that's been in the works for a while. I pretty much felt that they were going to make the change. Go ahead, let me hear the rest of the story. One of the things I heard is how long it's going to take them to actually implement it.
It is something they've talked about for, they say, at least 25 years, so at least since 1995. And, you know, Tom, it's something I never really even thought about, but
just goes to show.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Me neither, and I guess that says something about us, I'm sorry to say.
Well, but a little greater social awareness comes up, and so this subject bubbles to the top again, and now it can be changed. It can be Olympic Village and Olympic Valley, and those names, I would argue, probably are better descriptive names of what the place has stood for and what happened there. So anyway, Squaw Valley will be going away, yes, and it's going to take a while to change all of the signs and all of the stuff along the way. So the folks at Squaw are saying a couple years. And so they worked with the Washoe tribe up there, and this was kind of done on a mutual collaboration deal. So it just shows what can happen if people sit down and talk about things in a normal tone of voice. And, you know, maybe wasn't all that painful.
There you go.
Let's see here. Okay, this is kind of interesting. American Airlines last week gets all excited. They say that they've got this chemical that they can spray on their planes that puts a special coating on everything, and the virus just falls off on the floor. And the disinfectant is called SurfaceWise 2. It's made by a Dallas-based company, American Airlines, very heavily in Texas. So anyway, they say it offers protection up to 7 days. But the company's material safety data sheet lists some common hazards of the product and says that they have some concerns about prolonged skin and eye contact, both possible in environments such as the cabin of an aircraft. So here's one of these examples. I think we may see this more than once, and heaven forbid it happens with a vaccine. But people are so excited about getting something that will help the situation that they're rushing it out there. And, you know, we'll know pretty quickly because flight attendants and the like are going to be around this if this substance is sprayed on all their planes and it lasts for a week, flight attendants are going to be able to tell us probably within a couple of weeks whether or not that type of enclosed surface is a problem or if it's not. If it's not great for American Airlines, if it is, why then, you know, it's just it's maybe tap the brakes just a little bit here. We're going to have a guest from Hawaii, second half of the program. You know that if you go to Hawaii right now, you have to quarantine for 14 days once you get there. They have not, Hawaii has not moved to the next level yet where you and I can go to the islands in any way, shape, or form. But for right now, for the people who are going over there, some of them thinking that they're going to outwit the quarantine, Hawaii is now going to require all tourists to fill out what's called a safe travel application. And it means they're going to have a lot more information on you before you ever get on the airplane. And if they don't have that information, they're not going to let you get on the airplane on the mainland. So I think the times of people going over to Hawaii and somehow being able to evade the quarantine by hopping on an inter-island flight or doing some razzmatazz or something, Hawaii is wise to you. And let's hope that there are some better solutions. And Will Lydgate will join us in the second half of the program from Kauai to talk about that. And finally, Delta has become the first U.S. airline to install hand sanitizer stations on board the plane. So they now have Purell stations on board their many of their aircraft. So I don't know about you, but when I'm in the airport and I've passed through a few of them lately, anytime I see a hand sanitizer station, I just go to it and clean my hands.
There you go. And, you know, I, a lot of folks carry small quantities with them. The issue is recently and not seems to have gone away, and that is hand sanitizer becomes harder and harder to get.
Yeah.
Because of the demand, you know, went from toilet paper to now hand sanitizers or for that matter. Dare to find yourself some, you know, Lysol, Clorox wipes in short supply.
Anyway, hey, listen, I was up in the Portland area this until early this morning. The alarm went off at 3:30 to get up and come back and do the travel guys. Stayed in one of my favorite hotels. It always had great food in the restaurant. And I hadn't been there for several years. And by golly, went there, stayed there, ate dinner. Not only once, but a second time because it was so good the first time. So when we come back after this break, one of the things that we're going to do to make you a smarter traveler is I'm going to share for those of you who go to Portland and pay a lot of money to stay downtown and protest, you can stay out in the suburbs and still go in and protest if you want to.
All right. Sounds good. That's next right here on the Travel Guys.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't.
This song is somewhat ironic, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
I'm leaving on
the
jet plane. I think I'm going to go to, it looks like I'm going to Hawaii. I have no idea when I'll be back. I think I've got to be there for at least quarantine. Welcome, everyone. We back. We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, again brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how we talk about, Tom, we told people one of the things we've really tried to emphasize here the last few weeks on the Travel Guys is that you're going anywhere, even if it's by car and it's 30 minutes away, you know, do your homework and make sure there's a place to park and the parking lot is open and all that stuff. And you got to be careful if you've got a reservation on a cruise line or an airplane, because everybody's playing this little game of, you know, you have to wait for them to cancel first in order to protect all of your monies and stuff like that. And you had some family members who were going to Hawaii. And what an interesting, because you booked it at our company, I got to see it when the change came in. And originally a flight that was supposed to be Sacramento to Honolulu, I'm guessing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Sacramento to Honolulu.
It changed just a little bit.
Yeah, it turned into from a 5.5-hour nonstop, it turned into an 11.5-hour triple play to, Denver and then to Oakland and then to Honolulu. So, I mean, the point to make is that watch your emails. Check your reservations. Check them often, because in a lot of cases, airlines will make changes. Some of them will benefit you, and sometimes they will not. And if you miss one of those, first of all, you will probably not be showing up for the right plane at the right time. But at any rate, even more so now than ever before, is to watch your reservation closely. confirm it and be proactive.
Yeah, because there changes are happening pretty regularly, and the airlines are earlier in the summer, they thought, for example, that demand was going to come up back a little bit better than it has the last half of the summer. So they said, well, we're going to run 40-50% of our flights, and now they're back down to 25-30% of the flights. So some of the things that they added that you could buy earlier in the summer now are not existing, and that's why they're having to come back to people like you, Tom, and say, well, instead of Sacramento, Honolulu, we're going to have to go to Las Vegas because our only flight is out of Oakland. We don't fly to Oakland from Sacramento, so you're going to have to go to another city to get you to Oakland and to get you to where you're going, and then coming back, I think, like you said, it was through Denver or something that.
Exactly. It was a triple play the way home as well for 11 and a half
you
hours.
You could have just gotten a parachute, and maybe as they went over Sacramento.
anyway, you know. in short, that trip is not happening for a number of reasons.
Yeah, but it points out, though, why folks should really be paying attention here, because if you miss something just even by a few days, and speaking of missing something by a few days, we were going to... I love the Giants. They're my baseball team. I do a lot of business with them. I think they have a first-class organization. God, did they put their foot in it last week. And this is from a travel. Every year, the Giants have a game where you go to Alaska Airlines sponsorship. You went to the game, and you got a certificate that was a two-for-one certificate. Mm-hmm. First year, it was a free flight. Then after that, they went to a two-for-one certificate, which was something of real value. You know, I mean, if you were going to let Alaska flies to Hawaii a lot now, so two people could go when you can go to Hawaii. Two people could go for the price of one, except that because they couldn't pass it out at the ballpark, the Giants and Alaska decided to do it in a little different way, and my guess is that it didn't go over very well. They gave us 24 hours notice to buy the tickets. You got an email, and it came one evening last week, and you had until the midnight the next night to buy the tickets. You could take up to six people at those cheaper rates, but all of the holidays were blacked out. All Fridays and Sundays were blacked out. A lot of destinations were blacked out. Individual destinations were blacked out on other days of the week and stuff, so you really would have had to scramble. Basically, you've got to pick all off-peak fares. This was not what the way that the thing was. It didn't have these kinds of restrictions before. Apparently, it didn't go over very well. And I haven't talked to the Giants about this, so I'm speculating, because the next day we got another email in our mailbox that said, oh, offer extended, but only another 24 hours. Did you get those too, Thomas?
I did, and not only that, another 24 hours went by, and they extended it again.
Again.
And it didn't have any clear notification as to what you could do if you needed to cancel or you wanted to change a flight. So there was a lot of unknowns that would normally take way more than 24 hours to figure out and decide. So
many
it was
of the
a bit of a bust.
Many of the carriers are allowing folks, if you know, they're extending this about a week at a time. A month at a time. They're saying, well, if you buy a ticket during August, before August 31st, you can that ticket will never have a change fee or a cancellation fee. You can change it or cancel it for free because they're trying to get people to buy tickets and plan travel. I suspect when September rolls around, some of them will say, well, if you buy a ticket in September, we'll do the same thing for you. But this didn't show any when you went to the website for Alaska Airlines where they took you. It didn't show that if you bought these tickets that you would be able to get a refund. And because they were so limited on days of the week and stuff, this is basically a somewhat worthless promotion unless you really had specific days that you were going to a secondary destination. So shame on the Giants. And I take the fact that they kept extending it day after day after day. I didn't see one in my mailbox last night, so apparently now it's over. But, if you're going to do these things, guys, let's do them on the up and up. I got a chance to go to Vancouver, Washington, not British Columbia, but Washington, right over the border from Portland. And one of my favorite places, folks who listen to this program know I'm really fond of a small farmer's market there. But there is a great hotel there in downtown Vancouver, right across from Esther Short Park, where the market is held every Saturday and Sunday. It's the Hilton Vancouver. And it's not only a really nice hotel. I mean, a Hilton's a Hilton, and this is a nice hotel, and it's clean. They have a floor where you can get a patio on your room if you want for a few extra bucks. Great restaurant in this hotel. And I can't think of any hotel in the country that I would tell somebody to go eat in the restaurant. It's called Gray's. We had dinner there Friday night, and the food was so good, we went back and had dinner there again last night. It's in the Hilton in downtown Vancouver, which is a wonderful little city. You know, Portland's got a lot of problems going on, a lot of things going on in Portland right now. Vancouver is kind of a miniature Portland, and with this beautiful little park downtown and the farmers market and stuff, it would make a great weekend getaway. And this Hilton Hotel is... The food at Gray's is just really terrific. The service was excellent both nights. Steaks, burgers, fish, all kinds of some pretty cool stuff there. So also just up the road are the if you want to go visit Mount St. Helens. And so places that you can, you know, viewpoints where you can see the mountain, depends on how far you want to go, stuff like that. Visitor centers are closed, but the parking lots are open, so you can go, you can still go and up on part of the mountain, and all the interpretive exhibits and stuff outside are open. But next year, the visitor centers will be open. So something that's going to show up on the Sports Leisure Vacation schedule next year, I think, is a little trip that will include Vancouver and a trip up to see Mount St. Helens. And if you're ever in the Portland area, Vancouver is about 20 minutes from downtown Portland, if the traffic is heavy. The Hilton Vancouver will cost you about half what it will cost you to stay at a similar hotel in downtown Portland, and you will have that great restaurant for dinner and for breakfast each day. So I highly recommend the Hilton Vancouver and its restaurant Gray's in downtown Vancouver, Washington.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks for the update. Speaking of updates, Will Lidgake over from Kauai at the Chocolate Farm, fall goes well. We're going to be chatting with him right after the news break. Find out what's going on in the islands directly from the... Here we are, heard everywhere on iHeartRadio, KFBK's website, and we got podcasts on iHeart as well as at TravelGuysRadio.com. And yes, we are the travel and entertainment guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. Mark, a good buddy of yours that... you haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
But is joining us on the line.
He is. He's having kind of a busy day today, so I'm really glad that that he's been able to squeeze us in here. We've been, you know, Tom, we've been talking a lot about Hawaii and people wanting to go there and how to get there and how to get tested and all this stuff. And, of course, it's the folks over in Hawaii who are having to – they've got the other side of this because people are not coming. So for folks who depended on people coming, and Will is one of them, it's life has gotten a little different. So I thought instead of us talking about it every week, about what's going on over there, it was about time we talked to some people in the islands. And I can't think of anybody better to talk to than Will Lidgate. Will, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, happy to be here. Happy to talk with you.
Hey, thanks for squeezing us in today. Looks like you were doing kind of a big deal there with your chocolate and stuff this afternoon.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Yeah, aloha, everybody. Our farm here on Kauai was selected by the Fine Chocolate and Cacao Institute to represent the United States for their origin series. So one of the fun things about being a part of growing chocolate is that, you know, Hawaii is the only place in the U.S. that does that. And so you get to represent your country sometimes. It's like being in the Olympics.
And you have competitors in the islands now, and heaven forbid you and our late friend Jim over on the Big Island, you guys have made it a habit of showing and telling everybody else, other people, how to do what you do.
Absolutely, we you know used to, we still do to a much lesser degree. Farm tours did a lot of chocolate education and just helped to change the way people think about chocolate. I did a little TED talk on that too. And, you know, I'm not sure if it's competition, Mark, because I think it's going to be years and years and years before we have enough chocolate that people, you know, actually is like, hey, there's too much chocolate here. I don't want to buy all of this. I mean, honestly. And we're one of the few people that does tours, you know, the real tours where you'd 5 stars on TripAdvisor, you're really doing it. Jim Redekop was a standout example, and really sorry we lost him.
Yeah, yeah,
that was. World. We do vanilla as well here too, but not like he did.
Yeah, well, and the more of those products that can be done in the islands, first of all, for those of you who use them, it's, you know, you have to haul them across the ocean in a boat. Anyways, all right, Will, let's talk a little bit about tourism. Oof. There. You've got
tourism.
You've got a chocolate farm, and you had people coming and taking tours and buying products, and they going home and buying more products.
We miss you all a lot. And it's I don't know what to say. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. It's rough. So on a business side, you know, we used to have people coming through here every day and loving it and buying all the chocolate and tasting chocolate and having a great time and having fun with us. And now, you know, we don't have you folks anymore coming. And so we are having to refocus on our local market. But of course, it's a much smaller market, and it's a everyone's afraid, and it's COVID, and it's rough. I mean, restaurants are starting to go out of business. You know, it's getting bad. It's like 40% unemployment or something like that here in Hawaii. It's a really rough time.
Will, you know, this is Tom. You know, I haven't had a chance to meet you up close and see your farm. I know Mark and his travelers certainly have, and they speak very highly of it. Besides having visitors and such come, do you have any financial relief by way of your website or your being able to distribute your product and sell it?
Yeah, one of the great parts about having so many visitors is you make a lot of friends and people who love your farm and want to buy your products. So our email list and our online sales for Lydgate Farms have really been one of the things that's been a beacon of hope and kept us going and moving product, you know. People did shop online, although it seems like with all the fires and everything and the hot summer, and it's just right now, it's people aren't shopping as much. I'm hoping when we get into the fall, it'll come back. But yeah, we do have online sales and have been able to move a lot of our product through that channel.
So, Will, what happens now? They've tried telling people to quarantine. You know, that's been a miserable failure. The COVID cases in the islands have still been a problem. They've had to cut out even inner island flights there. Yeah. We maybe have got a fairly rapid test. How does this come back? And also, not everybody in the island seems to be real happy with the governmental leadership over there.
Oh, God. Well, that's a different – well, we'll answer that. Thank you. So where are we at right now? We've got the 14-day quarantine. So if you want to come here, move here, anything, you're quarantined on a property for 14 days. So if you're in a house, that means in the house, in the yard. If you're on a 50-acre property, it means you just don't leave the 50-acre property. And Oahu – Kauai has – my island has one case of COVID. We don't have COVID. It's not here. It's beautiful. And I think 70% of people business owners support keeping the quarantines, even though, I mean, it's killing us. So where are we at? I don't understand what the issue is. We were going to open up August 1st. I think you take a test before you get on a plane. You test negative, you get on a plane. You take a test when you get off the plane. You test negative, you don't have COVID. Let's hug. Let's hang out. We know you don't have COVID. You can do, but have to hug. But you know, keep your mask on. Let's do some business. I don't get why we can't do that. No, someone's not saying what's really going on. They just launched an app. You're going to have the app. The app's going to geolocate you. I'm sure they're working on the test. Can they not get the tests? Why don't the airline companies have a test? Why don't there's $1 a test? So they're maybe not super accurate. Take two. Take three. There's a new saliva test that's supposed to be 89-90% accurate. Someone here is working on. I really don't get it, guys. Why can't people come out here? It's safe. We don't have COVID. Now, Oahu, they let the COVID out. They really have the COVID over there. Mm-hmm. But we really don't have it. I understand people maybe don't want to travel in the first place. But, okay, state government. You know, Ige, ever since the button-pushing thing, we had this false missile scare. Everyone's phone in the state said there was a ballistic missile coming.
Right.
And it was like, whoops, sorry, we just clicked the wrong button.
Sorry, we pushed the wrong
button. Why is that a button? Why is there a button that says that? Shouldn't be a button. Anyway, ever since then, it's sort of like, I don't know about Ige, but, you know, it's I'm sure they're doing their best. It's just hard to understand. I mean, we've only been working on this since March, right? You'd think that we would have the tests, we would be able to do this. I think they're coming, and I don't know what the details are, but as you can hear, I don't really understand why. And I mean, this is serious economic hardship. We're just seeing the first wave of bankruptcies, of people closing and not going to open back up again. There's not going to be as many businesses when you come back to Hawaii as there were. And we need more federal relief. If we don't get it, it's going to be brutal.
And, Will, you're talking about 40% unemployment, and I'm thinking about one of the things that makes Hawaii special is you have all of these small outfitters and small operators who do, you know, this kind of really cool thing or that kind of really cool thing. And with no income for half a year and no other, you know, you said unemployment is 40%, so it's not like, well, my tourism job isn't working out, I'll go take this other well-paying job. So some of these people are not going to be back. I mean, it sounds like a lot of them are not going to be back, and that may change the Hawaiian experience, at least for a while.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm sure it'll be back, and it'll be great, but what we're seeing is a lot of people who are working in the hotels are starting to leave and move to the mainland where there's jobs, and then a lot of people who are remote workers, like in these expensive parts of places where they wanted to live close to the company, are now moving here. So we're having a little bit of a swap in population. People are moving here who can work remotely, and they don't mind the quarantine because they can work inside. And then people who were working in tourism or at the hotels are leaving. So this is going to have some kind of impact. I'm sure it'll be great. You know, it'll still be Hawaii and beautiful. But there's going to be an impact. This is serious stuff. And I just don't think that what's happening to small businesses is getting the attention that it needs to get. This is a super big emergency. And I don't see the support that we need.
Yeah, it makes me wonder how long the folks out there can last. I mean, I think about, you know, how do people eat and how do they feed their families and how do they, you know, I mean, because the money is not coming in. And the other thing, Will, a little bit, let's before I let you go here, one other last thing.
Sure.
There's been recently some pushback and some push-pull between, you know, visitors to the islands who come over there and they don't conduct themselves very well and they don't treat resources very well. And so some of the people in Hawaii have said, you know, screw it. We don't really want these people here anyway. Why don't they just stay home? And so then some of that's been published in some places and some of the visitors said, well, fine, you know, you don't want us to come, we won't come. Is that part of the whole discussion right now, or is that something that will rear its head after this is all over?
You know, I think yes and no. That's sort of always there. But, I mean, if the visitors ever really aren't here, that's when people go, bring them back, bring them back, bring them back, bring them back. So, I mean, I think that's part of living in a visitor economy. Is like, you know, I wish there was no one on the beaches. Well, now, guess what? There's no one on the beaches, and everyone's dying this economic death. So, in some ways, it's like, hey, there's no more traffic in Kapaa, you know? The beaches are empty. It's kind of this amazing time. Like, it's like the 70s. Right?
Yeah.
It's like the 70s again. When is this ever going to happen again? So in some ways, it's like this magical, amazing time, but we're paying for it. Like economically, we're paying for this magical, amazing time. So there's both this, when you can, put it down, pick up the gratitude. This is the most beautiful place in the world, and we get to enjoy it, you know? And then the other part of that is, hey, I really like visitors. I love people, and I miss people, and they're my friends, and there's great people. And the whole, you know, whatever percentage of the population just thinks negative thoughts about everything. I don't know what percentage it is. Ask a sociologist. Negative affect. People are just grumpy. But, you know, and those people are, you know, someone will quote them in an article. But believe me, the silent majority here realizes that we take care of people for a living. That's how Hawaii works.
Hey, Tom.
And, you know, so, yeah.
Tom, I just want to tell you something. No one has ever left Will's farm unhappy. I mean, I can't imagine with what they do there and the way that they do it. And even though they, you know, try to get you to open your wallet at the end, you know, they end in the gift shop. But I can't remember. It's one of the highest rated things. And for people who are listening, Will runs a chocolate farm on Kauai. Will, and since in all of my infinite wisdom, I did not list your website on our website today so that people could shop for chocolate. So will you please share that with
that.
The folks who are listening?
Yeah, you can get it at lydgatefarms.shop. That's LYDGATEFARMS.shop. Just search Lydgate Farms Kauai. you'll find us, and love to ship you some chocolate. We got the FedEx 2-day air. We got the whole thing. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and if things keep going the way they are, we'll deliver the chocolate to your house personally.
I might get chocolate. Just, you never know, Mark. You never know.
Well, we need to get people back over there because Will is just not sounding as happy as you make him out.
As usual, Tom. Yeah.
And Hawaii is a special place, and it's places like Will's that make Hawaii a special place. So that's why we've got to get things back together. Will, I really appreciate you taking the time to cram us in today. Thank you again. Yeah. It's Lydgate Farms, Lydgate. They have some of the most amazing chocolate that you will ever eat in your entire life. So you can go online and take a look at that. And Will, I hope that you and I will be shaking hands and hugging soon.
Yes. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Tom.
Appreciate it. You bet. Appreciate it.
Thank you, my friends.
Will Lydgate from Lydgate Farms on Kauai, confirming kind of that the fuse is getting shorter over there. I got to believe they're in the middle of the ocean. You know, yeah,
I was. Did you know that the COVID infection rate was so low in Kauai?
I confess, I did not, but I did know it was very high in Honolulu. Of course, that's where most of Hawaii's population is. So
they're just one happy plane flight away of bringing in more of it there.
Dare I say, Hawaii represents some of what is the best in our country in terms of tourism and places to go and people to see. The spirit of aloha is still alive there, so I hope that it's not too much longer until we can go back. All right, we're going to take a break, our last break of the day, and when we come back, we're going to play a song for you. This is a talk show and a station that does talk shows, but we're going to take a break and play a little music for you. We have a special COVID-19. Oh, there's all kinds of jokes and songs and poems and all kinds of stuff. This one, though, I think you are really going to enjoy. And if you really want to enjoy it, there's a link at travelguysradio.com. This is something you would want to listen to and you will want to see later on. We are the Travel Guys. Hang with us. We'll be right back.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just
Amarillo by morning. Sounds good to me.
We better leave now. Hey,
I went to Lowe's. Actually, walked in through the garden area, snuck in with my mask, followed the wall all the way back to plumbing, peeked in, nobody around, went in there and bought my little part for my shower and came back out, and a guy had to check me out there with his plastic thing in front of him, and I had to sanitize my debit card when I was done. But for somebody that hadn't been in a retail store of any kind for anything in like 5 months or 4 months, it was pretty thrilling.
Well, look at you. You're just a big boy. Stephanie let you all out by yourself and everything, huh?
Well, boy, I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. I'm the guy that's always known to be at Lowe's three times a day in the real regular world back in the day. Okay, Mark, tell us, where did you find this wonderful
little
piece?
We got something really cool. This came to me by three or four or five different people in like a 2-hour stretch. It's a chorus in Vancouver, British Columbia, and you would only know that there's only one tiny clue in the song that they're Canadians. You have to listen really closely. But this is done to For the Longest Time. It's a Billy Joel song, and there's been a lot of these things, but this one I think is as good as it gets. So Luis, For the Longest Time.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Safe out of time.
Go to TravelGuysRadio.com and you can find a link to that and watch the video. They have the words on the screen, and it'll be easier for you to understand them. And it's in the Zoom format, and you can see all the dynamics. And
you can see one guy getting a haircut and another petting their animals, one petting fake animals. Listen, the video, if you thought the song was cool, you have to go to Travel Guys Radio. If you only download one thing through this whole COVID thing, this is the one to get. So get it and show it to your friends.
And I've shared it. I immediately shared it to like three or four people within a couple of minutes of viewing it for the first time. Thanks for hunting that down. All right, my friends, thank you so much for spending time with us today. We'll be back next week in an attempt to make you a smarter traveler.
Mark? In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
See you next time, my friends. Stay well.